This is Jay Sekulow. It's the fourth Democratic debate. Questions the candidates need to answer.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. It is the fourth Democratic debate. It takes place tonight. The question is going to be, what are the main questions that the candidates are going to be asked? And to that point, is this going to be the debate where they really get into the impeachment issues? Or is this going to be the debate where there's going to be questions aimed at Vice President Biden and the role that his son had regarding, of course, mostly now the discussion seems to be going from Ukraine more to China and those irregularities? Is that going to be? Are there be attacks from the Democrats on Joe Biden? Who are the leaders right now? It looks like it is becoming a two-person race, and that is Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren, with, I think, clear that Elizabeth Warren Jordan is on the ascension.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's now leading in the new national polls. Now, if you look at the Real Clear Politics polls, Biden still has a lead. But if you look at the most recent polls, it's Elizabeth Warren with three-point leads, four-point leads. And again, so the latest polls show her on the upswing. Her fundraising numbers are much bigger than Joe Biden's in the last quarter and last reported. Bernie Sanders had the health issue and has been kind of off the campaign trail. So he's been rapidly dropping. And then when you get to that next set of candidates, none of them is above 5%.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're talking about a race right now between Biden and Warren. My question is this. If you're Elizabeth Warren and all this information's come about Joe Biden and you oppose him, you couldn't be more opposite from him on policy. You're not going to be his VP. He's not going to be your VP. Do you try to take him out tonight? We haven't seen like that kind of action from Elizabeth Warren, but if you're her campaign, you see that they're hurting financially. You see that he's dropping in the polls.
Are you talking about Biden?
Do you take Biden out tonight or attempt to take him out? Because if you don't and you let it linger, well, he's going to linger there as the moderate choice. And when it does come down to just two candidates, which this looks like it will, there's a lot of mainstream Democrats out there who are going to be worried that Elizabeth Warren, regardless of what's happening to President Trump, can't beat Donald Trump, has no chance against Donald Trump.
So if they're back today. What do you sense? I mean, you had Adam Schiff over the weekend, and you all talked about it on radio yesterday. Now the whistleblower's not testifying. So does this become the impeachment debate, or is this a go-after-Joe-Biden debate?
Well, I guess we're going to see. I mean, I think in Washington, D.C., they have decided for a perpetual impeachment procedure. I mean, they decided to do that when they proceeded without evidence. Now, how the candidates will handle that, I'm not sure. I'm sure Joe Biden, Jay, would like to not talk about it at all, but I imagine some of the other candidates will bring it up. You know, as it pertains to Elizabeth Warren, I think she's got two clear paths. One is the one that Jordan just suggested. She could go for the knockout blow tonight against Joe Biden, or Jay, as Bernie Sanders is facing this health issue, as sad as that is, look, I think his campaign is in the decline. Much of that support is likely to naturally go to Elizabeth Warren. So will she take some of that just sort of as it comes and then wait for the knockout blow? I think that's the most interesting question.
Yeah, there's a view that it's about a 70-30. If Bernie Sanders were to come out of the campaign, Harry, that 70% of the vote would go to Warren, but another 30% might go to the Vice President, Vice President Biden, because of just electability.
Yeah, I think Biden is in a very, very difficult position. In part because there are a number of ethical, perhaps conflict of interest issues. Also, I think Biden is in a bit of trouble because as yet he has not offered a coherent reason for voting for Joe Biden.
Yeah. Other than he seems to run on or was running on this, I'm electable. Now, I'm not so sure that's playing right now.
But I think that idea is cratering as we speak.
Yeah,
I mean, he's becoming more and more unelectable as his family is caught up in scandal. And he was supposed to be this kind of guy that rose above it and was already the vice president. And, you know, he's senior and could take on Trump one-on-one. And now it looks like, no, he couldn't. I mean,
so the question will be, does he say, I'm the guy that can stand up to Trump. Look what he's trying to do to my family. So I'm going to be the tough guy. We'll see tonight. We'll see. Does Kamala Harris try to do something? Does she try to do her performance number one? We'll see. All right, we'll take your calls, 800-684-31.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Obviously, tomorrow on the broadcast, we're going to go through the debate, the performances tonight. Julie on Facebook asked this, and by the way, if you want to get your questions in, 800-684-3110. Is there any potential candidate that could jump in at the last minute? There was rumors over the weekend, in fact, that one of the candidates may be Bloomberg, Harry.
Absolutely, and it's very, very possible that he could jump in. In response to a Warren surge, as I understand it, there's personal friction between Bloomberg and Elizabeth Warren, and there are huge policy differences, and he has apparently said directly to Elizabeth Warren at a forum that she attended, sponsored by its company, this forum would not take place if my company had not been successful. So Bloomberg's a capitalist. In the true sense of the word,
was a Republican.
Elizabeth Warren is largely a capitalist in name only.
Now, let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask this Jordan and Than. If he gets in, it's not so. If Bloomberg were to announce in 6 weeks, too late or okay?
No, not necessarily too late. He's got so much money. The question for me is: Bloomberg, being a former Republican, where is that going with the Democrat base? I mean, I think we got Tom Steyer already. Now he's going to be on the stage, a billionaire, more to the left. But still, there are other options that will be there tonight for Democrat voters that weren't there before. So Tom Steyer being the newest face that will not just be on your television ads now, but actually have a chance to be on the debate stage. So I think you have to look to him tonight to have a big moment. He spent a lot of money to qualify. Is he going to try to really hammer a Biden or Elizabeth Warren? Or kind of go after those top tier candidates. But the question for me with a Bloomberg is why? The party doesn't want you. The Democrat Party isn't begging for a white knight to come in and save them from the radical left.
No.
They are the radical left. Look at how things are running in Washington,
yes,
like with Adam Schiff, the no vote on the impeachment inquiry, but trying to act like they can jail people over not responding to Congress, even though they don't have the full powers that they would have if they did vote to open an official impeachment inquiry.
I'm still convinced as of today and I think the no whistleblower, they're saying, well, it's the security of the whistleblower. Maybe what it really is the political compromise of the whistleblower because there were reports in the press about maybe being supporter of the vice president,
vice
president.
It was a direct aid to Joe Biden.
Yeah, so
and,
I mean, come on,
still supporting.
So this is all to me. This is a lot of political theater. But then we've got to You know, this is interesting. I want to play the Senator Bernie Sanders bite, where he's trying to draw this distinction between himself and Warren. Take a listen.
Elizabeth Warren has been a friend of mine for some 25 years, and I think she is a very, very good senator. But there are differences between Elizabeth and myself. Elizabeth, I think, as you know, has said that she is a capitalist through her bones. I'm not.
So is it possible? I mean, right now he's getting 24% of the Democratic Party vote.
He's not
a socialist fan.
Well, and she's a socialist, too. I mean, the differences between them on policy are very, very thin. The biggest difference is she's a better salesman of those very lousy ideas than he was. Look, he pulled the party to the left, his direction, the last time around. She came along, adopted his policies, probably added some meat to them, and now she's the one that is selling them. But, to Jordan's point, I really do agree about Michael Bloomberg. He wants to take the lane of Joe Biden. Well, look, 50% of the party's votes has already decided that they want socialism as their nominee. They are not going to nominate someone who was a Republican a few years ago. It's a non-starter.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, let's go to caller online. And we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Taking, obviously, comments. We just read one from Facebook and Periscope as well.
I think the thing is, what do you want to hear from Democrats tonight? I mean, if you're a Republican voter, what do you think that they must address tonight? Is it Joe Biden and his son Hunter? Is it Syria? Is it this phony impeachment and how that's running? Because, listen, I mean, for most of them, I think they have to realize their likely opponent, almost 100%, is Donald Trump.
100%, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, 100% will be Donald Trump. So they could focus all this time on impeachment as they want to, again, to damage the president leading into the election. But, I mean, they're not being very honest about it. And they're going to get tough questions from these reporters, especially, I think, Joe Biden. So what do you want to hear? 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Glenn calling from California online, too. Glenn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yep. My question's brief. Wouldn't it be beneficial? Now, I'm a Trumper, and I don't think it matters who wins the debate against us, but wouldn't it be beneficial for Elizabeth Warren to just take Biden out tonight by talking about his controversy with his family? And then she can concentrate her dollars spent on Trump instead of fighting Biden.
It's an interesting question and an interesting process you put forward. There's another scenario I want to run by, though, and that is, does she take on Bernie Sanders to eliminate him as a threat? And maybe she does it subtly as a health issue or whatever it might be, or does she play nice to Bernie Sanders because likely that vote goes to her? So the question is, does she attack Sanders or Biden? She's not going to attack Buttigieg. She's not attacking Harris. That doesn't mean anything for her. So I think it's a three-way, if you want to look at it, kind of a two-way race with a third in between. But I wonder about that. I wonder, if I'm her strategist, what would you be saying?
You know, I would say take shots at Joe Biden. Don't focus all of your time on it. Throw a couple out there. If they start landing, if he starts getting indignant and nasty, then you keep punching. And you keep punching. Because what's he going to say back to her on this? Stop talking about it? I mean, that's not fair. Okay, well, then he looks weak. So take a couple of swings. Let some other candidates take a couple of swings at him. And if they don't, you be the one that does. Show that you're the front runner by taking out the others. Now, if they're not delivering, you can pivot and move on. But at least an attempt. Because you know right now with Joe Biden, he's hurting in the polls. He's hurting in fundraising. And he's got his son now saying he made poor decisions on television the day of the debate. Not good optics for Joe Biden.
But an intentional optic, though, to put Hunter Biden out there right before the debate to get this out.
Where's Hunter?
Yeah. Then how do you think it plays with among Democrats on Capitol Hill, the situation right now? What are they looking at?
Well, I think they're scrambling. I they don't want this rhetoric, Jay, as they're trying to impeach a president based on no substance. And here they have, the person that's involved in it going on national TV and said, I made a mistake about the very issue in play. But, oh, by the way, this is not about me. I think that's a disaster when they're trying to put together a policy. I will say this. I would look at maybe the Warren-Biden debate just a little bit differently. I think she actually benefits by the fact that her main rival is someone as weak as the former vice president. If he were to crater completely now, I think someone would take his place as maybe a so-called moderate alternative to her. I think maybe she wants him to limp along for a little bit longer so that when she does crush him, nobody else can step into those shoes.
You know, it's interesting to say that because Heather on Facebook, Harry, says the truth is that Democrats will not be asked tough questions by CNN and the New York Times.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I don't think the Democrats have been asked tough questions in many instances, if we go back the last 20 years or so. And so I think that has eased many of their problems with respect to dealing with opposition. I also think, though, that it's important for the media to at least reclaim some level of credibility with the American people. And so at some point, they may indeed ask some tough questions, and then the question becomes, who among them, among the Democratic candidates, can actually rise to the challenge and deliver decent answers?
You know, it's
and I think Elizabeth Warren is probably the best suited to deal with
more
that.
Direct, more articulate. It's interesting, though, that how this plays out in light of all of the Ukraine, China news,
Adam
that the campaign
Schiff.
And the Adam Schiff issue.
Should the whistleblower testify?
When I say no, we don't need the whistleblower to testify.
But asking them that.
Yes.
I mean, you could ask these candidates, don't you think that the whistleblower should at least testify behind closed doors to the whole Intelligence Committee and give both Democrats and Republicans an opportunity to ask questions?
They're not going to. Yeah, I don't think they're going to. You know, and I still don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to let that happen.
How about ask this question of the candidates tonight? Do you agree with Adam Schiff from a month ago who said that the transcript was worthless and shouldn't be used? Or do you agree with Adam Schiff from last week who said that the transcript is the best evidence? Which of these two paths of Adam Schiff do you support? The one from a month ago or one from a week ago? I don't know how you answer that question.
Should he recuse himself? Because
they're not going to.
But they this be like us asking the question.
Yeah, that would right.
It's still CNN and the New York Times.
I think that's what Harry's saying. So, you know, are there going to be tough questions? I think the toughest questions will be the Biden questions.
Yes.
I think the toughest questions will be the do you support a impeachment, not inquiry, proceeding now when you are less than a year out from at that point, you know, when this impeachment, if it ever happened, took place. A year out from an election. I mean, that is a risky, risky move on the Democrats' part politically, I think. I mean, I just think that's fraught with peril.
Yeah, I mean, you're less than 400 days. You're getting very close to the 365-day mark. And you're going to, not have a impeachment investigation and just a straight-up vote on impeachment and then send it to a Republican Senate? I mean, when you know this has backfired in the past, it's again, to me, a very... If that is the strategy, it is because Nancy Pelosi believes that none of these candidates have a chance without them doing something so extreme that even though it hasn't worked in the past, they've got to try something.
Well, at that point, it's a Hail Mary pass. I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean,
these candidates are so weak, and they are pretty weak right now.
Yeah, they are.
Elizabeth Warren cannot be elected president of the United States based off her policies unless she really pivots to the middle. And how do you do that if she's been so far?
I don't think she's going to. All right, we're taking more of your calls when we come back from the break. 800-684-3110. 800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
The debate discussion for a moment and focus in on something that you all know that we have, and that is we have international offices at the American Center for Law and Justice. We've highlighted our office in Jerusalem. We've highlighted our offices and the work we've done in the continent of Africa. We've highlighted the work that we've done, of course, in Strasbourg, France, which is our main office. We have an office. We have an affiliated organization in Moscow that does legal work. Mostly dealing with religious liberty there and human rights. Our office in Strasbourg, the European Center for Law and Justice, has been very active. You've seen our team at the United Nations doing oral interventions. Engaging. We thought it'd be good to take a segment of the broadcast and introduce to you in person someone you've seen a lot on TV.
That's right. Christoph Fulton-Logel is an advocacy officer for the ECLJ, the European Center for Law and Justice. He's based in Strasbourg, France. We play a lot of his oral interventions to the UN Human Rights Council. That's in Geneva. On this broadcast, both sometimes during the break for those of you who watch on video, but also during the broadcast as well, when he intervenes on behalf of either individuals who are being imprisoned abroad or being persecuted abroad for their faith, or groups of individuals who are being imprisoned abroad. And so, Christoph, it's great to have you here in the United States. And so our radio audience can hear from you directly, and those watching on Facebook and Periscope can see you, not just on the UN camera, but can see you on our cameras here.
Thank you. Thank you, Jordan.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, the European Center for Law and Justice based in Strasbourg. But the work is not just based in France, and that's important for people to know.
Yeah. Strasbourg is in France. There are European institutions there, but Strasbourg is just between Brussels and Belgium, where other European institutions are, and between Geneva, where the UN headquarters are in Switzerland. So we're active in these three major European cities.
And then in Strasbourg, you've got the Council of Europe and the European Court of Human Rights. So it's very much an international city when it comes down to human rights law. This is the headquarters.
Yeah, yes, indeed. The European Court of Human Rights, I would say, is like the local European U.S. Supreme Court, in a way.
Yeah.
It deals with many religious liberty cases, pro-life cases, torture, etc. A range of human rights in Strasbourg.
One of the big issues that we've been dealing with has been the persecution of Christians in the Middle East. You've made significant interventions on those, same in Africa. In fact, we have one of those that we could have available. Yeah, we'll do that more during one of the breaks, if not doing during the broadcast. How, when you talk about the UN which and the Human Rights Council being there, the EU, the European Court of Human Rights, so we're in a very strategic location. Is it fair to say, in your view right now, that human rights and the issue of human rights is front and center within these European institutions, or do we have to make it front and center? In other words, is it something that's always on the docket, so to speak?
Yeah, I think that in the UN, it's at the front. We're making it at the front. It's a major issue. In the European institutions, it's more or less not that much at the center of the debates. We were more pushing for pro-life issues. So in the UN, we presented, for instance, recently UPR reports to address religious liberties in many countries across the globe. It's a major topic at the UN. Not that much in the EU.
EU, okay. So one of the things that we're talking about the EU. Is that you said one of the cases, or one of the biggest petitions we've ever had in Europe has been one that's dealing with life from conception. And yes. We're fighting Planned Parenthood right now in California. That case is back in federal court today. Tell us about that case.
So it's the one of us. The purpose of this petition was to avoid the European institution founding researches implying the destruction of embryos. So we said we don't want the EU to finance the destruction of embryos. And so we gathered a federation of association across Europe, and we gathered 2 million signatures. So it's the largest petition ever in Europe. And we had the possibility, the chance to present these this request to the European Commission, and they just throw away the request. They disregarded with no respect. And so we took the case we sued the Commission, actually. We sued the Commission decision to reject the petition to the European Court of Justice. So it's in Luxembourg, and the case is pending at the Grand Chamber of the European Court of Justice.
Jordan? You know, another interesting thing that you do is the universal periodic reviews and these reports, an examination of states as an NGO. We explain what's wrong, you know, religious liberty, but also human rights. And in this, what you just submitted in the states, and it's 8 states, the ECLJ, and it's always done by what the kind of the UN Human Rights Council is focusing on as these reviews come apart. So Belarus, Bulgaria, Honduras, Liberia, Libya, the Maldives, Mongolia, but also the United States this time. Mm-hmm. And we pointed out that, you know, even as an organization based as the ACLJ in the United States, we believe there is a major human rights issue in the United States that's a violation, that's abortion.
Yeah, indeed. Actually, all these states are required to present to show that they respect human rights they committed themselves to respect when they signed convention. That's the whole purpose. And so as the ECLJ is an accredited NGO, we can present a report and stress out what is going wrong in these countries with regard to religious freedom, and in the case of the United States, how the United States not respecting the protection of life for babies. So we try to point out what's going wrong with regard to religious freedom, mostly the inability, for instance, for Christians to be registered as a religious community in a country, the inability to have a church, to keep a church.
I mean, that's shocking. I just want to underline that. I mean, what Christoph's talking about, in most of these countries, the human rights abuse is not being able to even register yourself as a Christian individual in these countries where you have to register what religion you are,
yep,
or register your church or your religion officially,
right,
or even have a church to worship in legally and officially.
Now, Turkey's in the news right now a lot, okay? A lot, with everything going on in Syria and with the Kurds. Andrew Brunson was held in Turkey, is going to be, of course, if our client is going to be at a parliament conference. Tell us about the significance of the conference. What is the conference going to focus on?
Well, on two major things. First, we managed to have a lot of members of the European Parliament signing and showing support, public support for the release of Pastor Brunson. So this conference will be the occasion for him to thank them for their support. And the other one, of course, will be to speak about religious freedom in Turkey. I mean, we were just speaking right of religious freedom in Turkey. It's disastrous. We intervened in a case because precisely in Turkey, as a Christian community, you cannot have a bank account, for instance. Mm. Properties issues are very regularly happening. And so he will speak about the difficulties of evangelization there, how the state is trying to, yep, prevent people from becoming Christians. And we'll have him in November.
That's great.
Okay. And we're also working with one of those agencies at the UN, that International Conference on Population Development, which has been taken over really by the pro-abortion movement. And we're fighting back there too. So I just want to point that we only have 20 seconds left, but we're fighting back in some of the most difficult institutions within Europe, Christoph.
Yeah, in Nairobi, they'll try again, like they tried 25 years ago in Cairo, to push for abortion as an international right.
And as an international human right, we're fighting back.
All right, back with more when we come back from the break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
It's debate night, and this is the fourth Democratic debate, 12 on stage. The question is going to be, is this going to be the impeachment debate, or is this going to be the what was Hunter Biden doing and what did Vice President Biden know about it? Is it going to be the debate where Bernie Sanders says, he had a serious health issue, but he's back and full vigor? Or fan, is it going to be all of the above?
Probably mostly the ones that don't involve impeachment. I don't think the CNN moderators are going to bring that up. You've been asking, will they be asked tough questions? I would just ask this. Will they even be asked an easy question? I mean, I think there are a lot of people out there that are longing for the day when these kind of debates will be based on merit rather than show. I don't have a whole lot of hope that that will be the case. But what about this question, Jay? What will you substantively do? We know you don't like the president. We know you do like socialism. What will you substantively do to make the lives of the American people better? I don't know. I don't hold out a lot of hope that that question will be asked, Jay.
What do you think, Jordan?
I think that the big question here is...
Is there a theme to... Did they announce a theme like the equality debate or town hall? Is there a theme to this or just an open debate?
I haven't seen a theme. I mean, I think that, you know, issue is that this is CNN's debate with the New York Times, and you've got Tulsi Gabbard back on the stage. She is a puncher, so it'll be interesting to see who she's punching at. And then, of course, Tom Steyer. He is someone, again, a billionaire businessman who basically bought himself onto the debate stage.
Yep.
Kind of like a Bloomberg would also if he decided to get in. But it'll be interesting to see. Is he going to talk about himself, or is he going to start throwing punches at these people because he's been waiting so long to do so?
Yeah.
And he could be effective at it. I mean, this will be interesting to see because there are some candidates here who we might not see again. Amy Klobuchar and Julian Castro are barely qualified for this one. I can't imagine they qualify for the next one where you've got to have 165,000 unique donors, at least 3% support in 4 national polls or early state qualifying polls. So
you're saying Klobuchar probably out, Castro probably out.
Yeah. Gabbard, I don't know if she could make that either, even though she made this one. That was based off the old kind of standards. I don't know how she gets...
We got a call coming in about Tulsi Gabbard. Let's take it. We're taking your calls. 800-684-3110. You think Beto's out?
Probably after this one.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Let's take the phone call.
Hey, Jeff, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
There's a lot I like about Tulsi, but her belief that the sanctions against Iran is the way the U.S. is trying to please Saudi Arabia by doing that, I don't agree with that. I think Iran is a serious threat. And it's wrong. We should have sanctions on Iran, not because of Saudi Arabia, but because they're a serious threat to the Middle East.
So it's interesting you say Tulsi Gabbard because she has, you know, she does. I think she does very well in the debates. Personally, I think she's her substantive performance in the debate, Harry, I think is pretty appealing from a debate standpoint.
I think that's correct. I think she's been very effective in attacking Kamala Harris for her inconsistency on criminal justice, and she's been very effective in attacking Tim Ryan, who was unable to distinguish between al-Qaeda and the Taliban with respect to the 9/11 attack. And so the key question for Tulsi Gabbard is, will she now turn her fire on Elizabeth Warren? I think she can draw an effective distinction if she wishes to go there, and so I think the question becomes, will she do it?
We're taking calls, 800-684-3110. We're also taking your comments as well, and that's important. I'm interested on this one, and that is Andrew Yang. He seems to have some popularity, but yet, on the other hand, his numbers do not seem to be, what's he at, 3%? Yeah, what do you think, Jordan, on Andrew Yang?
Does he make the next one or probably? $1,000 and all that, it looks like he will qualify for the next debate, though. So, I mean, we're looking at this list. At least 8 have qualified. We'll go through when we come back from the this next break, who's qualified for the next debate. This is November 20th. More could qualify,
yep.
But we have the list of who has already qualified for November 8th, and we'll do that when we come back on the air. Hey, don't remember, yesterday I said I didn't like seeing John Kasich. His book comes out today. He's quite a rhino. We don't like rhinos at the next red wave. And his book was...
I saw him on his interview.
We said yesterday it was like 50 ahead of my book on Barnes & Noble. It's now I ask people to go to Barnes & Noble, buy the next red wave.
Yeah.
He's only 19 ahead. So we can get ahead of John Kasich's brand new book if you go buy the next...
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Not allowed to Amazon.
All right, so Jordan was just in the during the break talking about I'll the book you, is 19. Okay, the book
is 19. Yesterday.
The book written the next red wave is 19 behind John Kasich's brand new book.
It wasn't even tracking yesterday on that list. It was not
okay.
In the top,
okay,
you know. So,
but so now he's just to make clear, he said if you're going to buy it today and you're near a Barnes and Noble or you can do it online, do Barnes and Noble. He's given plenty of shout outs to Amazon. He said so.
Hey,
you're okay there.
We're number one in political advocacy on the Kindle on Amazon,
yes,
and
good.
Amazon's been great. But I saw that and I said, you know, John Kasich, the new book out today, this is a rhino. Our book talks about these horrible rhinos, Republicans in names only on Capitol Hill, mostly in the Senate. And it'd be great to overtake his. I want to thank a lot of you did that because we jumped up huge. I mean, now we're only 19 away. So if a few more of you, it doesn't take a lot to move those numbers.
No.
So if you're listening right now and you haven't gotten the book yet.
I mean, the truth is, you know,
30, 40 of you go buy it
right 50,
now.
I was going to say 50 people buy it, and all of a sudden your numbers start shooting up.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to who's on the stage tonight. So let's go through this. Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii. Businessman Tom Steyer, first one he's in. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. Okay, how's Booker doing?
I think he's doing where he's been the whole time. Barely hanging in there, kind of survives to the next round. Did he qualify yet for the next debate? He's always on the line. He's always like right.
We know
it seems like
yet.
He's got enough percentage points. I don't know if he's ultimately
he's
been
close
100% yet for he is. Yeah, he is qualified. So he hangs around. I mean, he's like.
Is Gabbard on the next one? Not yet, right?
No, she barely made this one.
Steyer, yes. Cory Booker, yes. Kamala Harris? Okay. Bernie Sanders, yes. Joe Biden, yes. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, she's qualified. Buttigieg is qualified, right?
Yes.
So not going to pare it down that much. What about Andrew Yang?
Yes.
He has. Beto O'Rourke.
Not yet.
Not yet. Probably not making it. Amy Klobuchar. Probably not making it. Castro is probably not going to make it. So you may go down from 12 to 9.
Eight, nine, yes.
Somebody here's the question. Is there any scenario, Harry, that you see where any of the non-Sanders, other than Sanders, Warren, and Biden, do any of these have a chance? What would it take? I mean, would you... a cataclysmic meltdown of two of them, I think it would take to do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very possible that Tulsi Gabbard, if she offers a startling performance tonight, she could take some support away from Biden. She's probably the most rational alternative left to the left-wing group that continues to lead the pack of Democrats. And I don't think, for instance, I agree with Jordan, that Bloomberg will enter the Democratic Party nomination fray. If anything, someone like Bloomberg would perhaps venture an independent run.
Yeah.
And that's very, very dicey.
It sure is. All right, so you're looking at the situation right now, and this is what it tells me. The question tonight is going to be, and I'm going to Jordan and Than on this, is, as I said earlier, the first half hour, is this going to be the impeachment inquiry debate? Is this the one where they're going to say, boom, this is the one where we want to go? Which I guess we could have had our impeachment inquiry concert, but we decided to hold that off for a couple. We'll do it one day this week. Is this going to be the impeachment? Did they raise this? How does this get raised?
Well, it'll get raised.
But it could hurt Biden.
It'll get raised by the questioners, I think. Now, Biden has said he supports impeachment now. So I don't think that there's a lot of difference amongst them. I think that they would ask them about, New York Times may ask about the process. Do you think this is really an open and honest, fair process when impeachments are supposed to be very public and it's happening about a year before the election? Don't you just think people should vote? Why impeach now? It looks kind of politically motivated. I'm being the New York Times moderator. I think that's the best you can expect from them. I think the second big question after the impeachment debate is how candidates handle Joe Biden. And then the third biggest question is how candidates handle Elizabeth Warren, who may be a bigger threat to them now than Joe Biden. So does she start taking punches? She has breezed through every debate. And the worst thing that Bernie Sanders said about her, which doesn't hurt her, is that she's a capitalist and I'm not. Okay, that's not a punch.
That helps her.
So will they actually start attacking Elizabeth Warren? Because that will be the first time she would be coming under fire, and that could just switch the whole debate around.
Well, Will made an interesting point, a producer, and that is she has been on those the first tier debate. She's been on the, she's really had a pretty easy run at this.
Yes.
So the question is, Than, who's going to be sitting? Do we know who's going to be in the middle right now? Is it Biden?
It's Biden and Warren.
Boom, together. That's kind of the way they've got it. Okay. So then the question is, if that's the fight, does she raise, what does she do to make herself stand out here? I mean, where does she attack?
Well, I do think the question about Hunter Biden is going to come up from other candidates, and I think that might be when she turns on the former vice president. I mean, to your earlier point, in those early debates, she wasn't even on the stage with the former vice president or Senator Sanders, so she did have it easy. This will be the first night where she's taking some of that incoming, and I do think it's very interesting to see how she will respond to being targeted. As for vice president, when that exchange happens, Jay, because I do think it's when, not if, I think he will try to take the tact of, look, I'm the one that can stand up to President Trump. I'm getting targeted right now. My family's getting targeted. I would expect another candidate at that point, Jay, to say, are you kidding me? You couldn't even stand the attacks of Senator Harris, who's at, 4% in the polls now. If you couldn't stand the attacks from Senator Harris, how are you going to stand in a general debate? But I do think that's what we will try to say.
I'd like to know from our audience, I find this an interesting issue. Will pointed this out. I think it's a good one. Is there anything in these Democrats, if you had a vote for a Democrat, in other words, the only party that was running was Democrat, who would you be inclined to do? That's some interest. I don't know if people will want to respond to that. Maybe they will. 800-684-3110.
Who would do the least damage to America?
Who would least hurt your political view, your worldview? Because that'd be interesting to know who conservatives think is the not most likely to win, but you could possibly support, although on the life issue, it makes it so difficult because of where all these people stand on this issue. Although Tulsi Gabbard used to be pro-life. She used to be a lot of things. But she does garner some very interesting feedback from I would say libertarians.
Yes, she does. I mean, she's got some bizarre views though on like Iran.
Yes,
some bizarre views on dealing with Assad. She met with Assad, but I have a feeling, and I agree with Carolyn on Facebook, that Tulsi is going to bring it tonight. She's going to be the puncher. She was from the military. It seems like she has the most appeal amongst Republicans. Now, that doesn't necessarily help her in the Democrat primary, but it could be someone that if you are a more liberal and you get the nomination, that you need to look to as a possible VP or in your cabinet to get some Republican
votes.
Well,
this is because this is very interesting. We're seeing this, Harry, on Facebook right now. This is an interesting fact. So, I mean, just
people
a Facebook.
Like her.
Yeah. So I want to know from a radio audience that's listening their views on who they think would be the most, who they, if they had to, where would they go? But we've had some comments already. Carolyn on Facebook said Tulsi's going to bring it tonight. Frank on Facebook. Gabbard already took out Harris. I think she goes after Warren tonight. Susan on Facebook. Tulsi would be the least polarizing of the field. Harry, what does that tell you? Now, that's just Facebook and Periscope.
And there's lots
and
more
Twitter.
Coming in just like it. I mean, like exactly like that.
Oh, flooding. So we're saying lots of similar comments flooding in?
People like
interesting. So what are your thoughts on Tulsi Gabbard? That's an interesting comment. It could be tomorrow's comment. But, Harry, what do you think? 800-684-3110. Go ahead.
Tulsi has been helped in a couple of arenas. First, she has appeared on the Tucker Carlson show quite frequently. And this has given her greater exposure to a conservative audience than many of the other Democratic candidates. In addition, she's willing to take on the Democratic Party establishment. And thirdly, she has been willing to take on tech companies, I think, in a very helpful way. So this has broadened her base, at least in the sense that she can appeal to a bipartisan audience.
I've got a follow-up for you on that, though, on the tech side. Elizabeth Warren has attacked Facebook. If you're the Facebook CEO and you're a publicly held company, what do you do?
Well, I think if you are Facebook and you're a publicly held company, you will subtly perhaps change your algorithms to disfavor Elizabeth Warren without doing it publicly. So one of the things that we should keep in mind is that there's an algorithm called machine language fairness. Essentially, a number of these tech companies have put this algorithm on their accounts, and you can change those algorithms through human intervention, but then blame the change on an algorithm.
Yeah, interesting. John on Facebook said this, and this is an interesting, there's a couple interesting comments here. As an independent conservative, I would lean towards Tulsi. Laurie on Facebook said, do you think candidates like Tulsi are trying to win the VP race, Dan? Quickly?
Yes. The problem is there's a big if for all of them. With Tulsi, it's Iran. With someone like Andrew Yang, it's all the giveaways. But I think those are the two candidates.
Yeah. I think the reason why our audience is responding this way, I would respond that way too, is because she hasn't been afraid to try and work across the aisle with Republicans, especially until the squad came to town. She was got a lot of attention about working across the aisle with Republicans on issues of bipartisan support, even under the Obama administration, trying to bring in Republicans. Second, military service, obviously. Third, not afraid to go on Fox News regularly. Not like I did it once, but regularly on Fox News, which means she's not afraid to go to the conservative base and audience and answer their questions and talk to them directly.
All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. With the question, if you had to vote for one, who would that one be?
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Democratic debate tonight. Rick on Facebook said, please play the full song. I just said I think we would play the full song. We will do that, Rick. We'll probably do that concert maybe tomorrow night or Thursday night. We'll let the team do that. We got a little kind of a best of concert for you. I call it the impeachment inquiry concert. Laurie on Facebook, do you think candidates like Tulsi are trying to win VP? We talked about that. There's some sense on that. Linda on Facebook, the DNC would never let someone like Tulsi Gabbard win.
Yeah, I mean, the DNC has been kind of shown to be a bit corrupt, you know, when it comes to how they rig these. Yeah. I think it's tough for Tulsi Gabbard. Listen, she made the debate stage tonight. The next
she's
debate,
had a little bit of a resurgence to get
yes.
there, but she really worked hard.
She worked saying. Really hard. Now, to make the next debate stage, she has to work that much harder. I mean, so you have to go from
almost 5%.
Yeah, I mean, so it's a big jump. 5%, 3% in at least four polls or 5% in two polls from the top four states, those early states, and then another 30,000 unique donors. It's doable, but it's within a month.
But it's interesting to me. I mean, I'm going to go to the phones here, 800-684-3110, because now, Than, I mean, let me ask before I take a call here, because you're up there all day. I mean, what is the attraction here, do you think? The independence, the ability to go on the more conservative media, the military service, is that what it is? You're such a capitalist, I guess?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's the perceived ability to work across party lines and having more moderate positions. Here's the problem with that, Jay. She's walked away from all those positions to try to be relevant in this primary. I mean, you look at Iran and the life issues. She's decidedly walked them back, just like Joe Biden walked back his position on the Hyde Amendment. So, look, I think the appeal probably relates to positions that she held, a couple of years ago, not ones that she's currently advocating. I mean, to answer your question, though, Jay, I look down this list of 12 and I try to talk myself into any of them, and on each of them, I come back to something and say, well, no, that's a disqualifier. So, with Tulsi, maybe she used to have some across the aisle appeal, but I think she has intentionally walked that back for the last few months.
Yeah, let's go back to the phones, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, back to the phones. Let me see. Both very similar. We'll go to Tony first in New Jersey online, too. Tony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, hi. I would definitely vote for Tulsi because of her previous pro-life stance, and especially because I feel she resembles more of the old blue dog Democrats that I remember at one time long ago.
No, I think there's something to that. I mean, she's modified her pro-life stance, but then does she politically run to more towards the middle? Is she an attractive VP candidate? I don't know. It depends. She doesn't put a state in play that they don't. She asks why, but there's no question she brings a different look to the and I say that by someone that has that kind of mantle of acceptability to conservatives is a different kind of look than what you're used to with especially Harry, if you contrast that with Bernie Sanders.
Absolutely.
Who the look there is, so you see Bernie Sanders, you see socialist people are looking at Tulsi Gabbard, and you know what they're seeing right now? This is what it's telling me: moderate.
Yes, I think she has the capability of at least having a conversation, a respectful conversation with a conservative. And secondly, she doesn't offer the typical Democratic approach, which is disdain for the military. And thirdly, I think for many Americans, she is seen as a patriot, even if she's seen as a bit of a left winger.
Yeah, but the situation with the Saudis and Iran, it's an odd. Her situation's odd.
Yeah, she does. She'd have a lot to explain for, and she doesn't come under a lot of attack at these debates because she's barely making the stage. But she throws punches, so I'm sure she'll. And I think that these candidates expect that now from her.
Yep.
Biden probably is. Warren probably is. and we saw what she did to Kamala Harris. They need to have some comebacks for her. Like, okay, you sat down with Assad while he was chemically, dropping chemical weapons on people. What gives there? At least, explain your answer. Your situation with the Saudis, Iran, all of this. Again, I think military service, not afraid to talk to conservatives, definitely not a socialist, still a liberal. But remember, the question we asked was if you had to have one of these as president, candidates as president, Who would it be? We've not heard anyone but Tulsi Gabbard.
Well, that's what Will just said. I've not seen a single comment for someone other than Tulsi Gabbard.
And here's another one. Janet in Maryland on line 3. Janet, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Janet. Janet, you're on the air.
Yes. Oh, hi. Okay. When you said Maryland, it threw me. I'm in Dallas. But anyway, It would be Tulsi. It would be Tulsi for you guys just hit it on the head. You really did. You brought up all the reasons why, and that other man that just called in about seeing her as the used-to-be Democrat, that I see her for the future, Jay. I really
so
do.
How do you, if it came down to, which I don't think it does, to Tulsi Gabbard or President Trump, where would you go?
Oh, Trump all the way.
Okay, yeah, so what you've got here is, and the reason I ask that is this. It's not as if there are conservatives out there enthusiastic for Tulsi Gabbard.
I think they
the least offensive.
I think they wish that's more where the Democrat Party was because it would be like a more reasonable seeming party that you could have a choice. And right now, I think that for most conservatives, love President Trump or not, you don't have a choice. If you're going to vote, it's President of the United States, you're going to vote for Donald Trump right now, because when you look at this field of who's likely going to emerge, it's not someone you're going to be able to cast your vote for, whether it's on the life issues, whether it's on foreign policy or economic issues. Those kind of people and are not going to emerge.
All right, let me take the last few minutes here. I want to get assessments on this. So there's been a lot in the news over the last few days about, where's this impeachment inquiry going? Now, Fan, you're of the view, we got to do this quickly because I want to get everybody's comments in. You're of the view that you still think they are marching towards a vote on the floor.
I think they already paid the political price for it by announcing they were opening this inquiry without a vote, Jay. I don't see them walking back from it. Although, if there is a stroke of reality and say we have to have some substance to put forward, this would be the time to step away. But yes, I think they already made that decision.
And I say, in light of the not wanting to have the whistleblower testify, even privately now, that I think the reality, and they just came back from break, I'm seeing, Harry, the reality that possibly what's going on here is it didn't play that well. And there were some articles in the New York Times and the Washington Post on this. It did not play that well. You look at the polls, the country's like divided as they are politically. They're divided on impeachment. That doesn't get you the momentum to do it. That's my view. But I mean, I think you're right.
I think Nancy Pelosi made a mistake in appointing Adam Schiff as her lead spokesperson on the so-called formal impeachment inquiry. Adam Schiff is conflicted. This is self-evident.
Yep.
He's self-contradictory.
Yep.
He's done
poorly.
And he's lied a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's the one who came out and he has the transcript of the conversation. He doesn't read it. He makes his a parody up or whatever that was. And then he goes on national TV, Jordan, and says, well, I never spoke to the whistleblower nor my staff when they had. And he said this week, did we have that statement where he said that? I don't know if we've got time. Where he says, I should have been clearer on that.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, I think that you talk to the key issues for me tonight are, one, do they want to just focus on impeachment? Because let me tell you, they're going to be running against President Trump. So focus, if you're doing that, you're just trying to hurt him and damage him as a candidate, because he is going to be the candidate you got to face. Biden is the big question. Is he going to be able to respond to attacks? And then Elizabeth Warren is my number 3. Is she going to come under attack? Because she never has. She has yet to come under serious a friendly fire, if you will, from other Democrats. That should happen tonight, because she's starting to pull away from like the Sanders and from the others and even from Biden. So if she skates through again, she's going to have a great night. We'll see how she deals with a fight.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast. There's some music coming up for you. We'll have an analysis of the debate on tomorrow's broadcast. Stay tuned. Share it with your friends. Enjoy the music.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. at the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online